Let's talk fishing for a little while. First of all, though, let's talk to Captain Wayne Miller on the Mobile Tensaw Delta. What's going on out there, buddy?
Hey, Alan, how are you and Joe?
We're great, man. It's a good day to be in Alabama.
Yeah, it really is. You know, started the day off, it was, man, even before daylight this morning, pretty big thunderstorms out in the bay, and, you know, had a little system move up through the Delta. It's kind of been that way. We've had a few showers today off and on. You know, really, you know, it doesn't have a tremendous impact on the fishing. The only challenge it presents is, man, when one of those showers is over and that sun pops out, it gets tough in a hurry. You know, just from the standpoint of the heat itself. But, you know, the good news for the Delta is we finally got all the rivers are back down stable. The water is cleaned up, you know, quite a bit because, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, I mean, we had a lot of, you know, a lot of fluctuation on the rivers to the north of here, and, you know, it really pushed down a lot of nasty water.
Yeah.
And, so what we're seeing now is things have cleaned up, and, you know, both myself and the guys that I've been talking to quite a bit, you know, catching a lot of fish out in the main rivers. It's, you know, the top water bite is kind of hit and miss. It's been good some mornings and some afternoons. You know, been quite a few fish caught on frogs, and I continue to catch them pretty good on that little buzz saw buzz bait made by Lot Lures. It's a little double spinner buzz that you can put any kind of plastic you want to behind it, which, yeah, I really like baits like that because it gives you a lot of options as far as, you know, how you can dress it and what kind of action you get out of it. But like I say, the top water has been kind of sporadic. But on up in the day, you know, it's definitely a summertime bite. You know, deep diving crankbaits around the points on the main rivers, you know, have been good and just, you know, really dragging that soft plastic around, you know, and I fish most of that, the creature baits and lizards, whatever I throw up. I'm typically this time of year throwing on a quarter ounce tungsten weight unless the tide is just really ripping, and then, you know, I'll go to something heavier.
Are you having better luck on the main river this time of month or up in the creeks?
Yeah, the main rivers have definitely been better. And, you know, we're kind of on a bad tide cycle right now this week. But now next week we're moving into a, I think right now on the moon phase, we're like in the last quarter on the moon phase. But I know next week we're moving into a great tide. So, you know, starting this weekend and on into next week, you know, really the fishing should be pretty good. You know, when the water temperature is up like it is right now, you know, you definitely want to target times when that water's moving because the fish just are a lot more active during that moving water.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that we have a pretty significant tide Saturday morning at the mouth of Mobile River. The high tide occurs right around 5:43 a.m. It's a 1.71. That's a pretty good tide for down here.
Yeah. So, and, you know, like I say, really we're you know, looking at some good tides this coming week and even this weekend. But something else I need to mention, too, is, you know, we're starting to see quite a few shrimp down on the south end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that hadn't taken off yet. But, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it varies from year to year. I mean, I've seen it really crank up good in September. And there's some years where it's, you know, a little later before it really gets good. But, you know, as the number of shrimp increase, you know, it can't do anything but help the fishing. I mean, we'll see, you know, the fish, you know, the bass really start focusing on, you know, the shrimp as their main forage.
They love shrimp. Everything loves shrimp, including me.
Man, if it swims, walks, runs, flies, whatever, it'll eat a shrimp.
All right, Wayne, you have a great weekend, bud.
Okay, guys. Y'all take care.
All right. Let's check in with Mike Thompson and see what's happening in the northern Mobile Bay. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, guys.
Well, we're talking about the shrimp. Well, Wayne there, I guess we still got plenty of shrimp at the bait shops.
Absolutely. The Scott brothers are having no problem getting shrimp. Shirley's on the causeway has shrimp. They've got live bullmen. So, yeah, the bait supply is not a problem. The only thing, there's the real problem is the heat and the thunderstorms. But the fishing has been real good and steady in the mornings before everything cranks up. They're still catching fish on the man-made reefs along the eastern shore. They're still catching fish all the way up to the Daphne Pylons. That'd be your speckled trout and your redfish. Something that has increased is they're catching quite a few sheephead up around the Arlington channel, around the old Arlington Pylons. I talked to some guys that were in there targeting flounder and said they caught some really, really nice sheephead in there, you know, on live shrimp around those pylons.
What about those flounder? I've seen a good number of photos starting to pop up. Are they doing their thing?
Well, a good friend of mine did pretty fair. He caught six or seven flounders on artificial over the weekend, and he said the flounders were real finicky. He said they didn't want to, you know, inhale the grub that he was using, and he said half of the fish grabbed the tail, and he said right about the time you could see him, they opened their mouth and swam off. You know, they didn't get the hook. They just got a little piece of rubber. But it's really improving. And another, the Scott brothers told me they're actually catching a flounder or two when they're dragging for shrimp. I'm talking about, you know, a legal size flounder that you could keep. And they're also seeing quite a few juvenile flounders in their nets as they're pulling. So he said that's something that hadn't been that way in quite a while. So that's hope for the future. They're catching a lot of ground mullet and white trout at the T. That's at the end of Theodore Industrial Channel that hits the Mobile Ship Channel. And there have been some real nice ones. Of course, everybody's catching redfish. Redfish are almost epidemic, especially in the rivers on the causeway near the old causeway, along the grass edges, live shrimp under corks, been taking those. And actually, some people have caught some flounder doing that, you know, fishing for redfish. So everything's looking up.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, the flounder are showing up in the bait nets. That's something I hadn't heard in quite a while, and that is a really good indicator that the flounder may be coming back. Don't you think so, Mike?
Sure. I mean, you know, you just keep up with the social media, like, you know, the websites, and people are showing more and more flounder in their catches. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a slow improvement, but there's no doubt that it is an improvement. And the fish that my friend David caught the other day, he said they were nice pound and a half, 2.5 pound flounder. So there weren't any little babies out there.
And what do you hear from the industrial canal? Anything going on there?
They're still catching redfish, and, of course, the mangrove snappers is loaded, but they're real close to the minimum size, so they can be frustrating. They'll eat you out of house and home on a bucket full of bait, but the redfish have been pretty consistent. The trout fishing has been kind of slow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, really hot, and the people that are catching a few are catching them at night, and there's a lot of lights in the canal, and we ran a story in the magazine about that in the past. So that's something you might want to consider on one of these scorching afternoons, is getting Theodore and fishing around the lines.
You know, a pretty neat deal, not this weekend, but the following weekend, they've got the Saltwater Fanatics Inshore Championship. And I did see that the state is going to allow the fishermen in that tournament to keep undersized flounder as long as you keep them alive, and so that they can use them at the hatchery.
I mean, you'll be able to catch them and keep them until you give them to the state.
Correct.
Which is fully understandable, but I don't want anybody to think they can get out there and keep a 10-inch flounder and take it home, even though that's a perfect size.
Important distinction, yes. It is. You may not keep them for consumption, but you can contribute to the hatchery process, which is a good thing to see. I hope that goes well and we can start to see these flounder populations rebound.
Yeah, one of the things that Fanatics tournament has is they have a flounder gigging category, which is kind of odd. But I think they're going to give a prize for the largest flounder gigged. And I bet you'll see some big flounder come in, because that, the best part about being a flounder gigger is when you look down in the water, you can decide whether or not you're going to pop that fish or not, and you get to see what's down there. When you're fishing for them, you're just hoping they're down there.
That's right. That's right. I love to do that. All right, Mike, you have a great weekend.
All right, guys.
I want to go up to Pickwick Lake and the Bear Creek chain of lakes and talk to our good friend Brad Whitehead. Captain, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing good. I'm hoping we're fixing to get some rain. That is greatly needed here on Pickwick Lake.
Really? Well, we've got plenty of it down here in South Alabama. We could send some to you.
Well, I believe it would help the crops and the fishing and everything up here, so send it on.
Well, how is the fishing this week? What's the pattern?
Well, I've got two reports for you. One of them, we had a real good day about 2 days ago. We actually we had 60 crappie by 10:30, and we're hoping this pattern will pick up with the cool nights and everything. It was kind of a weird pattern. The fish were not around the brush. They were actually in a little bit shallower water, 13 to 14 foot, which is really rare for this time of year. But I can't explain it. I wish I could, but it's just one of those things. We just happened to stumble up on some. And also, the white bass and the largemouth are starting to really school up there on Pickwick and Wilson. So if you get up this way, you're able to get out there, look for a lot of schooling fish on the bass and the stripe. I think it'd really be fun for somebody to get into those.
Well, speaking of crappie and their unpredictable nature, you know, that's part of the reason that I love it so much. It's a lot like turkey hunting. No matter how much you think you know, they're going to surprise you and do something that's just totally off the wall sometimes.
You are exactly right. You know, normally, you know, like I said last week, the pattern's deep, treetops, you know, they're going to be tight to the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the boats just happened kind of to drift off just a little bit and get into a little bit shallower water, and it was one after another, sometimes two on at the same time. So we were really excited about that, getting cranked up with that kind of pattern. But, you know, we'll see. We're headed out tomorrow to see if that's going to continue. So I really hope it does.
What about bait selection, Brad? What's working on artificial and otherwise?
Well, as far as the crappie, we're still sticking with the live bait. Now, when you're in this area, just like other areas around the country, there's two type of minnows that you'll get at a bait store. There's a toughie and a crappie shiner. I recommend the crappie shiners this time of year. It don't matter if you're on the bank fishing for them or out in the boat. The crappie shiners just seem to work a little better. And you get into your bass, your strike, a lot of the things that we're catching them on right now are swim baits. It's still very, very popular bait. Your fluke, simple white fluke, is very, very good. And then if you even want to get even smaller, you know, your crappie slider, like your 3-inch grub, it's working very, very well. And that was one of the things I was going to say, too, as far as the guys that like to maybe fish from the bank below our dams, Wilson and Wheeler, that crappie, I got crappie on the mind all the time, but the bass, you know, the striped bass and largemouth are really good right now below the dams. As far as down bank, a couple of hours, you're able to catch 10 or 15 striper and a few bass mixed in there.
So. Boy, that sounds like a good day on the water to me. Brad, how do we get in touch with you to book a trip?
Two ways, phone number 256-483-0834, or catch me on Facebook, Brad Whitehead Fishing. You can message me and I'll get back with you within just a few hours.
All right, buddy. You have a great weekend.
You guys too. Thank you very much.
All right, let's go up to Lake Martin and visit with our good friend Captain David Hare at Alex City Guide Service. How you doing today, David?
I'm doing good, Alan. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing good, but probably not as good as you. You've been putting the herd on some stripers up there, hadn't you?
We sure been trying. We sure have. It's been a good summer.
Well, in this hot weather summertime pattern, the stripers stay down in the deep water, or what's the pattern?
Yes, sir. You know, that doesn't mean every one of them's going to go down there on the deeper end of the lake, but that's where we mainly fish at, down in the deeper water, yes, sir.
Well, some of these stripers run 30, 40 pounds. It's not too uncommon to catch a huge striper like that. What do people need to bring with them when they book a trip with you?
I tell people all the time, our trip includes everything but your fishing license and whatever you want to bring to eat and drink. You just pack your own cooler, and we set it on our boat, and everything else is provided, all the bait, all the tackle, life jacket, anything else you need, and it also includes cleaning the fish at the end of the day.
Well, that's good. Now, if somebody wants to take one home and get it mounted, let's say they catch one like I did when I was with you, and I wanted to get that thing mounted and put on the wall, y'all pack it nice for them and send it home with them?
Yes, sir. We can do one or two things. We have a freezer here that we can wrap it up, put it in our freezer, and our taxidermist can pick it up and contact you, and you know, you can deal with him direct, or we'll wrap it up for you and ice it down, and you can carry it home to your own personal taxidermist.
Mm-hmm. Well, the stripers are good to eat, too. Is there any particular way you like to prepare the meat?
I personally like it any way but broil, but everybody knows me, I tell you that I don't like anything the healthy way, and broiled's probably the healthy way, but my favorite way, of course, is nugging it up and frying it, and then my next favorite way is taking the big fillets and blacking them in a black iron skillet and putting them over a Caesar salad, and man, that's as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm. There's a red line going down the side of a striper. When you clean one, you'll see it. Do you remove that red line?
Yes, sir. When we get through with the fish, you're taking home all pure white meat.
Okay.
Now, I do have a few customers that like for me to leave it in because they like a little stronger taste, mm-hmm. but, you know, 90% of the people want me to take it out.
Right, right. Well, fried is always good. I mean, I'm a Southern boy. I know what you're talking about there. Fried is always the best way to do anything, especially with a little bacon on it.
That's right. That's right. In fact, my girls were up here from Orange Beach this weekend, Gulf Shores, and the first thing they wanted was me to fry up a bunch of stripers. So we had a big fish fry Friday evening.
What's the best way to get in touch with you to book a trip, Dave?
Best way to get with me is either call or text me at 256-401-3089. And if you didn't have time to write that number down, you can always look me up on Facebook, Ellet City Guide Service Lake Martin, or my website, elletcityguideservice.com.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the report, and you stay safe out there, bud.
You too. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Let's go to Miller's Ferry with Mr. Joe Dunn. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
The water is getting just right up there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's done cleared up from having that odd high water in the 1st of August. But,
right.
Yeah, it's looking back normal, getting to that normal pattern that we have this time of year. You know, hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, yeah. And this time of year, too, you know, thunderstorms pop up every day. You have to watch that. But I'll tell you, sometimes when you have a thunderstorm passing by, you know, 10 miles away, and you feel that pressure drop, but you're still out of danger. I don't want anybody to keep fishing, you know, if there's a chance of lightning. But if you feel that pressure drop, man, you need to get ready because the fish start biting.
Oh, yeah. Everybody right now, the crappie, they're still catching a few crappie. Like I said, that water temperature is hot, hot. Everything is slow, slow. But what I've seen, too, a lot of people doing, like I was talking about, getting down inside that wood right now, those bigger tops out in the river. And even some people I've been watching, talking to, they're taking, like, you got a lot of these big hyson mats that are coming down the river right now. And they're getting hung in those big tops. And you'll have, you know, some 20 to 30 yards across and back and forth hung in those big tops, and they're pulling up and letting the boat get right up in the edge of it, then reaching over and they're taking a rake and raking out a hole and then dropping that minnow down in there at our jig, you know, at 8 to 10 foot in a top that may be in 30 foot of water. And that's where they're catching some of the better fish, is those fish that are suspended up inside and up under that hyson right now.
So you're talking about a brush top or whatever getting caught up in those mats and floating down the river with it, right?
Right. Well, when that the mats are actually hanging up in tops that are actually anchored somehow or still attached to the bottom.
And then they're
breaking out and dropping down inside of those. Because, like I said, actually, I was out some scouting for my crankbait pulling method, and I run over some other bigger tops that have sloughed off, and it looked like whole trees standing in, say, 30 foot of water, and then you would see the fish suspended in the tops of those that would be 15 or so feet, you know, below the surface.
So
the fish are suspended in those tops a lot right now, especially when they're pulling water. And then when they're not pulling water, they're going to meander around and chase the schools of shad, and which, by the way, the river is slammed full of shad right now. And another thing, we had a huge willow fly hatch over there this past week, too. And there was willow flies everywhere.
So I guess a good stiff rake is an added addition to your boat if you want to
carry an umbrella to keep the heat off, and then and just let your boat drift up against those big mats and then rake you out a hole and drop your minnow inside of it.
And with the temperature so hot, the crappie are moving into the main river, so I guess they're in search of cooler water.
Well, they're just going to, they're following the bait fish, and a lot of the bait fish are out there right now.
Okay.
And until that water temperature goes to dropping off and they do their little fall thing, you know, that's just what it's going to be right now.
What time of year do they start changing usually?
For us, it's you know, a lot later. It's going to be October, November. You know, I mean, we just don't get cool weather early no more now.
Right.
I remember a long time ago when you would have a frost sometimes in, you know, early October, even late September. It don't seem like those ever, they happen anymore now for some reason. But anyway, usually the biggest push you can almost count on is by Thanksgiving. That's when everything really goes to get good.
That's when you get back up in the creeks. I love that time of year, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Joe, you have a great weekend, man. Thanks for the report.
All right. Appreciate it, Alan.